Good morning, and welcome to the Justice Report Weekend Review for May 26th to June 1st, 2024. This week, we'll examine the ongoing trend of American politicians adopting new and unique ways to signal their support for the embattled state of Israel. Then, we'll zoom in on a horrific string of knife attacks in New England, one political dissident's battle with a tyrannical government, and all the other headlines fit for our front page. But first, we'll take a look at former President Donald Trump's latest mark on American history, in a landmark trial that has sparked debate across the nation.
In a landmark legal case, reports say that former U.S. President Donald J. Trump was found guilty in a Manhattan courtroom on 34 counts of falsifying business records. On Thursday, Trump was convicted by a jury of 12 peers for falsifying records stemming from a sex scandal that threatened his 2016 presidential campaign. He is the first president to have ever been convicted of a felony crime. The jury deliberated for 2 days before reaching a verdict on Thursday afternoon. Following the verdict, the former president was said to have sat largely expressionless, with a glum look on his face. Notably, Trump's sentencing has been scheduled for July 11th, just days before the Republican National Convention, where the GOP is set to choose a nominee for the 2024 U.S. elections on July 14th. The jury found that Trump had faked official records to hide the real purpose behind a payment issued to Michael D. Cohen. The records concealed $130,000 in a so-called hush money payment issued to porn star Stormy Daniels, with the intention of keeping her quiet about a sexual affair. They were covered up to look like ordinary legal fees paid to the Jewish, quote, fixer, Michael Cohen. At sentencing, Trump could be staring at a possible 4-year prison sentence. Alternatively, he could see probation, heavy fines, or skirt accountability altogether via appeal. While this trial may be over, Trump is said to be the subject of 3 other criminal cases, none of which are set to go to trial before Election Day. The guilty verdict is being viewed as a historical precedent in American history, but a sentence will not prevent Trump from taking power in the event he wins an election later this year. The politically charged ruling comes amid a time of increased political instability for the United States, where 2/3 of Americans are now said to fear violence following the upcoming elections. Despite a conviction, Trump can still be president. The U.S. Constitution does not contain any stipulations that would prevent a felon from running and serving as president. In a statement outside the courthouse on Thursday, Trump said to reporters, "The real verdict is going to be November 5th, by the people. My civil rights have been totally violated with this highly political, unconstitutional, and election-interfering witch hunt. Our failing nation is being laughed at all over the world," he said on Truth Social. The guilty verdict has animated all sides of America's fractured political spectrum, with some believing a conviction in the case will help, not impede, the GOP hopeful. Even if the convictions are overturned on appeal, highly likely, the genie is out of the bottle. There is every reason to think tit-for-tat prosecutorial fishing expeditions will now become the norm in U.S. presidential politics, said journalist Michael Tracy on X/Twitter. Trump found guilty. We are now in uncharted territory. There has never been anything like this in American history, said Jewish conservative Ben Shapiro, also on X/Twitter. When Trump won in 2016, he declined to prosecute Hillary Clinton and put her in jail. When Biden won in 2024, his DOJ arrested 1,500-plus J6 protesters and began creating charges against Trump with cronies in New York City and Atlanta. Let this be a lesson, said right-wing commentator Nicholas Fuentes.
Up next, we'll discuss the latest attack, which left one dead and several wounded across New England, and the unhinged transgendered suspect police brought into custody.
This is the audio edition of the Justice Report's exclusive article, first published on May 26, 2024. Today's story: a crazed transsexual is arrested for an unhinged knife attack on young girls, Braintree, Massachusetts. Four young girls were subjected to a bloody knife attack in a movie theater on Saturday. For the crime, police arrested an unhinged transgender activist who may have already been wanted for murder and a string of attacks that erupted earlier in the day. According to early reports, 26-year-old Jared Revisa was alleged to have launched a bloody attack against four young girls, aged 9 to 17, inside an AMC movie theater in Braintree. Authorities stated the attack was totally unprovoked, leaving the four young victims with non-life-threatening injuries. While police have yet to release the suspect's name, online sleuths quickly identified the individual as Jared Revisa, a wealthy trans activist with ties to opulent Martha's Vineyard, Beverly Hills, and the Hamptons. A movie theater employee said that the suspect was wearing an oversized trench coat, sunglasses, and a long blonde wig. After allegedly stabbing the young girls, Revisa fled the scene in a black SUV and was apprehended after a short vehicle chase, which ended in the town of Sandwich. According to reports, Revisa was said to have launched another attack inside a McDonald's restaurant in Plymouth, injuring a 21-year-old woman and a 29-year-old male later in the day. When addressing that attack, police said it appeared the crimes were, quote, related. Preliminary investigation suggests a likely connection to an earlier incident at a movie theater in Braintree, resulting in non-life-threatening injuries to four juveniles, said the Massachusetts State Police in a news release. Additionally, Revisa was also believed to be responsible for a murder in Deep River, Connecticut. Authorities in Connecticut had issued an alert for the suspect earlier on Saturday, asserting he was armed with a 10-inch blade. Like authorities in Massachusetts, Connecticut police did not specifically name the suspect. It's so heartbreaking. That's what I'll be thinking about the rest of the night, is seeing those kids coming down the steps and just crying, said Mateo Rojas to CBS News. They looked really stunned, like they just saw a horror movie, not a kid's movie. According to his Instagram, Revisa appears to be a trans-identified male who prefers she-her pronouns. Photos uploaded to social media reveal he is a trans activist and artist, showing off pictures of former President Barack Obama as well as selfies of himself smoking marijuana. An independent Justice Report investigation revealed that Revisa is the wealthy son of Jason Christian Revisa, a psychiatric consultant, therapist, performance advisor, and president of Revisa Sport Psychology and Elite Performance. In an online clinician profile, Revisa is described as a consummate mental health professional with 25 years of experience specializing in children, adolescents, and young families. Alarmingly, the elder Revisa is credited as a school counselor at White Street Elementary School in Springfield, Massachusetts. An unearthed YouTube video contains a poem that Revisa wrote to honor first responders and healthcare professionals during the COVID-19 pandemic. The family appears to be linked to the late Kenneth Revisa, a legendary sports psychologist who was once described as one of the most highly sought-after clinicians in the world. Revisa conducted over 1,000 sports psychology programs and workshops nationally and internationally, read a bio on a website linked to Kenneth Revisa, who died in 2018. His work was featured on ESPN, Fox Sportsnet, and was the focus of numerous programs and publications worldwide. It is unknown how the son of a prominent children's psychologist could have matured into an alleged transgender knife murderer, but this story is currently developing, and the Justice Report will continue to provide updates as they become available. Homosexuals, trans-identified people, and other sexual deviants regularly become implicated in sadistic crimes, which often target vulnerable people for their perceived acceptance by polite society. In January, an openly gender-fluid student at a high school in Des Moines, Iowa, launched a bloody mass shooting, injuring six and ultimately killing three, including one sixth grader. On social media, the killer, identified as Dylan DJ Jesse Butler, admitted to struggling with his transgender identity and hesitated to become a girl in fear of, quote, looking ugly. In March of 2023, the nation was rocked to its core after trans mass shooter Audrey Aiden Hale killed six people, including 3 9-year-old children, in the halls of a predominantly white Christian school in Nashville, Tennessee. In a series of leaked pages from her many political writings, the female-to-male transsexual described her visceral hatred for white children with, quote, mop yellow hair, and highlighted her desire to specifically murder white children.
Are you still partaking in recreational marijuana? If so, you may be one of millions of Americans contributing to a sharp uptick in pot smoking, which now surpasses alcohol consumption for the first time ever. More on this next.
According to a new study, daily marijuana use in the United States has surpassed daily alcohol consumption for the first time ever. Psychedelic and other hallucinogenic use has also seen a sharp increase in recent years. In 2022, approximately 17.7 million people reported using marijuana daily or nearly daily, compared to 14.7 million who reported daily or near daily alcohol consumption. While alcohol is still more commonly used overall, 2022 was the first year that intensive marijuana use outpaced daily and near daily drinking. Jonathan Calkins, a cannabis policy researcher at Carnegie Mellon University, highlighted that about 40% of cannabis users consume it daily or almost daily, a usage pattern more akin to tobacco than to typical alcohol consumption. Research indicates high-frequency marijuana users are more prone to addiction and the negative effects of THC use. According to Dr. David A. Gorelick, a psychiatry professor at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, research shows that high-frequency users are more likely to become addicted to marijuana. High-frequency use also increases the risk of developing cannabis-associated psychosis, a severe condition where a person loses touch with reality, he added. The normalization of marijuana use comes amid increasing THC levels in cannabis products. Dr. Ronit Lev, an addiction medicine doctor in San Diego, explains how marijuana has changed over the years. Prior to legalization, marijuana plants were bred to produce higher concentrations of THC, the chemical compound in the plant that induces euphoria and alters users' perceptions of reality. In the 1960s, the THC content in marijuana was less than 2%, meaning the marijuana smoked by hippies was relatively mild. By the 1990s, the THC levels in marijuana had increased to around 5%, showing a significant rise in potency over a few decades. By 2015, THC levels had soared to over 20%, making modern marijuana far more potent than its natural ancestors. "It's a freak plant that resembles nothing of what has existed in nature," said Dr. Lev, highlighting the dramatic transformation of marijuana. The rapid increase in daily marijuana use and the rising THC levels in cannabis products raise significant concerns that appear to be overlooked as policymakers in the U.S. continue to push forward with legalization efforts.
While Americans are embracing pot as a means to hang loose, in Africa, many are taking to a dangerous new drug to kill stress. The ingredients may shock you. More on this next.
In Sierra Leone, African blacks as young as 13 have resorted to digging up corpses and grinding human bones in order to manufacture the latest killer drug known as Kush. Kush, the latest drug to take Africa by storm, is known to be a derivative of cannabis blended with synthetic drugs and other chemicals like fentanyl, tramadol, and formaldehyde. Due to a severe uptick in deaths stemming from Kush use, Sierra Leone's president, Julius Maada Bio, declared a state of emergency in April. The drug is said to make users lethargic, desperate, and ill. Other symptoms of Kush addiction include swollen extremities, festering sores, and organ failure. While treatment is hard to come by in Africa, some areas have found success in chaining abusers in concrete rooms until they beat their addictions. The drug has grown in popularity due to its inexpensive nature. According to social workers tasked with fighting the proliferation of Kush, some African villages have reportedly dug up graves in order to siphon embalming chemicals out of the recently deceased to be reused in Kush production. The drug has been widely adopted by the youth of Sierra Leone, a place where health services and other programs to help fight addiction are close to non-existent. "We are witnessing the destructive consequences of Kush on our country's very foundation, our young people," said President Bio, who would declare war on the drug. "It's making young people drop out of college, and it's having a physical effect on their health. You can see they have swollen feet, they have multiple organ failures, they're involved in crimes. It's a very serious situation. It's creating family disintegration, problems in communities, and they're dying every day," said Ansu Connor, director of mental health at Sierra Leone's Ministry of Social Welfare. "Every community in Sierra Leone, not just in Freetown, has been hit by Kush, and it's tearing them apart. There's no way to address it," said Prince Bull Lucini, director of the West Africa Drug Policy Network, to AP. The continent of Africa continues to stun the world with record high rates of substance abuse. Cannabis and opioid use rates in West Africa and Central Africa surpass global averages. In 2021, 10% of individuals aged 15 to 64 in this region reported cannabis use, compared to the global estimate of 4.4%, while 1.2% reported opioid use, slightly higher than the global rate of 1.1%. Notably, the majority, 70% of individuals receiving treatment for drug-related issues in Africa are under the age of 35. The UN predicts that by 2030, the number of drug users in Africa will have increased by 40%. While cannabis remains the most widely used drug in Africa, meth and ecstasy remain a close second. According to a report by DW, the coastal town of Malindi in Kenya, a transit point for international traffickers heading west from Afghanistan, up to 3,000 drug-injecting users were said to have inhabited the town, with many of them among the population's youngest. Why it's important? Many African countries have taken sides in the latest Cold War, which includes Russia, China, and the United States, vying for influence. Sierra Leone has long been aligned with the West and receives massive investments to ensure democracy and human rights go unimpeded. According to an analysis by Afrobarometer, the United States outranks China as a positive influence in Sierra Leone, with many residents believing China plays a negative role in the future of the country. Despite this, Sierra Leone has taken billions of dollars in investment from the East, including $4 billion in Sierra Leone's extractive, infrastructure, and agriculture sectors. Sierra Leone currently owes $78 million to China, which is equivalent to just 2.5% of the government's total public debt.
This concludes the free version of the Justice Report Weekend Review. Thank you for listening. To gain access to the full version of this recording, please consider becoming a paid subscriber to the Justice Report's website Substack, or Odyssey channel, and keep up to date on all the latest headlines from around the world. Independent journalism is often a difficult, time-consuming effort, and every interaction, share, and financial donation you make in support of our efforts here at the Justice Report helps keep the wheels spinning at a time when fact-based information is constantly under attack. With no corporate paymasters or political interest groups funding our operation, we rely solely on the support from readers and listeners like you. Thank you once again. We'll see you next week.